This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
That's Stephen A. Russell, who is going to talk to us about films as he does best.
Okay. Stephen.
I was literally, David, just saying to Eve, I'm like, I'm really beginning to get complex here. Honestly, you guys did not want me to come in. You've engineered yet another lockdown just to prevent me.
Oh, no, not at all, Stephen, not at all. Well, as a matter of fact, you're going to be a special guest announcer on the show. Middle of next month, if COVID doesn't get
hopefully,
in the way.
Hopefully.
So Neil and you are doing the show together, which will be fun. But hey, maybe we'll...
I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and maybe that will be the first time you'll be able to see the studios. But anyway, let's forget about COVID and do the important things and talk about film.
Absolutely. Although I just want to very briefly say that I didn't think it was possible for me to love Kate Bush anymore until I heard Kate Bush do. That is the best thing.
I know. What a great idea. You're like, have you ever?
I'm going to do that.
I've actually thought of doing that Kate Bush dance one time, where you've got to wear all the flowing outfits
Let's
and a wig.
Together, David.
I'll call
you Heathcliff.
Yeah, you be Heathcliff. Okay. All right. So, what are we talking about today?
Well, David, I prepared all this, stuff about what films were coming into cinemas next week, and it just doesn't seem like there's any point in doing that. So instead, I thought what we would do, in a hopeful sense, is take a little look forward to the Melbourne International Film Festival. Now, they have a really good backup plan, David, because basically the way they decided to do the festival this year is hybrid. So there's like 10 days from August 5th. Are in cinemas. Now that's not just the usual CBD cinemas. They've actually got a whole bunch of suburban cinemas like the Astor in St Kilda and the Pentridge cinemas in Coburg. They're also doing, instead of doing their like regional cinemas at the end, they're doing them at the same time. And then what they also have is 2 weeks of an online festival. So even if everything else disappears. The good news is, one of the silver linings of last year, David, when it went online, was that people all over the country could share the Melbourne International Film Festival in a way that had never been done before.
Yep.
So they kind of wanted to keep that. And if all else fails, we'll have that.
Right. and also what happened was, Stephen, is they got a hell of a lot more people watching the films. And they were making
It was actually a bumper year.
Yeah, and they were making more money because you still had to pay for it online, which is great because, it's a limited time and limited people that can get into the cinemas. But it still does lose the magic of queuing up, going to see a movie altogether and going to the bar afterwards and talking about it.
And that's half the joy. Like in a perfect world, dashing between cinemas, grabbing a dinner on the run, bumping into people and debriefing in the foyer, that's every bit as joyful as the actual film.
And I'm keeping
my fingers crossed.
Yeah, and also it's important to have people in the city. It's another reason for us to get into the city. So hopefully it happens. All right, let's talk about some
fingers
of the films.
Crossed. Well, look, I'm in a really lucky position, David, because some of the highlights of this year, I actually got to see at the digital version of the Toronto Film Festival late last year. So I can actually recommend ones that I've seen and absolutely love and cannot stress enough that you should go and book a ticket to.
Okay.
And my number one pick, David, and Eve. I keep saying David. I'm sorry, Eve. I'm just ignoring you. And you're sitting right there. It's very great.
I'm very concentrated right now. Don't worry about it.
Okay, excellent. Well, look, I'm going to be super biased and start with a Scottish film.
Oh, God, I knew it. Yeah, what is it about? You know, like unicorns or something, is it?
Is that the stereotype?
What? No. Well, do you know what? If you look on the British passport, that is weirdly the way the English decided to depict Scotland.
I know.
On the British passport. It's a unicorn and chains.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, I host trivia, and we often do what the national animal is for a particular country, and it's a unicorn for Scotland.
That's pretty great,
look,
though.
Yeah. Only in the UK.
Maybe they were real. Maybe they were real once upon a time. Who knows?
Of course they were. What do you mean, maybe? Of course they were. Anyway, this film is called Limbo, and I'm just going to ring the 5-star alarm straight away. That's how much I want you to see it. Go and see this film.
Okay.
What it is, and I think it has a lot of relevance to a really heated debate in Australia as well. So, the gist is that it is set on one of the Outer Hebrides, which is the island like way up off this northwestern coast.
Okay,
of
is that Shetland? Is it called Shetland?
Like, kind of even further, like they're pretty much as far as they can be, basically. And what the idea is a group of refugees has been sent there while they're waiting for their visas to be processed, and the absolutely amazing British-Egyptian actor Amir El Masri plays Omar. Now, he's a young Syrian musician who used to be an oud player, and he's kind of lost the joy of music while he's kind of in this limbo, you know, waiting to find out what's going to happen. And, you know, there's snow on this Scottish island and, you know, lashed by the sea.
Yeah. Oh, and it would be freezing cold for somebody from the Middle East.
Of course.
Grim.
And you would think as well that this film is setting up, you know, a kind of real us and them thing.
Yeah.
And look, it is weird and off-kilter, but also the locals are kind of intrigued by the refugees and vice versa, and it's really a beautiful film about finding your place while you're kind of stuck waiting.
Yeah.
And look, the Scottish director Ben Sharrock, he studied Arabic, he lived in Syria for a while, so it's a really Scottish take on, you know, this story of refugees from the Middle East. It's beautiful. That's Limbo. Go book it at MIFF now.
Okay.
Absolutely brilliant.
And what is the connection, Stephen? Why is it called Limbo? You know, like, is there a limbo dance that they do? Or?
No, it's like you know, limbo as in the...
Oh, between, being stuck in limbo.
Heaven and hell.
Okay.
Like purgatory. Yep. Purgatory. Yep. Yeah. You
know. Oh, so you're a good Catholic boy if you know about that.
I don't think that's how I would identify, David, but I was raised Catholic.
Right, okay.
Anyway, now, on a completely other scale, New Order is a cracker. If you want a real scary dystopia, this is from the Mexican director Michel Franco. And basically it's set in a near future Mexico City that is suddenly erupts in a violent uprising.
Mm-hmm.
But the window we have on this is from the super privileged rich part of town where there's this, you know, mega swanky house, they're having a private wedding, and then all of a sudden this, you know, glorious day of theirs kind of gets thrust into the middle of this, you know, a kind of assault on the 1%. Look, it's a horror film. It's a kind of sci-fi film. It is jaw-dropping. I still can't forget it. And I saw it, like, you know, over half a year ago.
Whoa.
New Order.
Okay.
Great.
And so it's set in Mexico. Mm-hmm. So is it in Spanish?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. So it's a subtitled film.
Yep.
And also subtitled film, but in American English.
Oh, hold on, Stephen, before we move forward, was the first one, Limbo, that you're talking, was there subtitles because it was set in Scotland? Yeah, like, was it subtitled?
Yeah, there is there's some subtitles for the Syrian, but excuse me.
Oh, Scottish, not for the Scottish?
I just totally did not see what you were walking into there.
He was holding on to that dig.
I know. I love that you sat for the second review just waiting to come back to that. Anyway, so if you want a cute film that's not going to stress you out like New Order, Coda is an American film by director Shan Heder, and it's a remake of a really cute French film from a few years back called La Famille Bélier. And basically what it does is it stars high-rise actor Emilia Jones as Ruby. Now, she is a high school, about to go to college, woman who is, she's a hearing woman who is the daughter of a deaf family. Her parents are deaf, her brother are deaf. Now, they work in fishing, and so she's kind of spent her life translating for them with American Sign Language. But what happens is they kind of basically her school, you know, choir master discovers that she's an incredible singer, and he's really keen on, you know, her going to college to pursue singing, and she's kind of tempted to do that, but she feels like she would be leaving her family kind of high and dry.
Yeah.
Look, it's really cute. It's called Coda. I really enjoyed it. And if you do see it, Miff, someone you might know, maybe yours truly, has recorded a Q&A with the director for audiences if they wanted to see that after watching the film.
Okay. So yay. In other words, leave the minute the film's over, run.
Oh, David. Wow. You have to put up with Eve.
But hey, Stephen, what an honour. What an honour that you're doing that.
I know. Look. I really love this festival, and I'm always happy to help out.
Yeah,
you know?
So good on you.
Every year I do a few Q&As for them.
Okay.
Now, if you want a really cute romance, I can really recommend Gaza Mon Amour. Now, this is a beautiful little cookie little, you know, story of basically he's an old fisherman, right? Some more fishing. In Gaza, so obviously you've got the backdrop of, you know, the Israeli-Palestine conflict, but it really zones in on this old dude living alone. He just wants to find a wife, and the object of his affection is played by Hiam Abbas, who people might know as the matriarch from the TV series Succession. She's brilliant because she's not really having any of it, but he's not going to give up in a hurry. And all I'm going to say other than that is that this film also features a ridiculous bronze statue of the Greek god Apollo that has a rather enormous you-know-what. It's a scene stealer of the entire film, and I won't explain any more about that, but you should go see Gaza Mon Amour.
Right,
just for the statue.
Just for the statue, yeah.
That's
you
the
know, what can I say? And look, if you want a really great queer film in this year's lineup, I can recommend the brilliant documentary No Ordinary Man. Now, I haven't seen a doco like this in such a long time. Directors Aisling Chin Yi and Chase Joyne. It's this loving portrait of famous American jazz pianist Billy Tipton. Now, Billy was a renowned, you know, star on the jazz scene. But after his death in 1989, he was maliciously outed as a trans man against the will of his family. And it's kind of, you know, I guess he hasn't got the credit he deserves because of that, mostly.
Because I hadn't heard of him at all. I didn't know him at all.
So, yeah. And look, neither had I, in all honesty, but you watch this film, you watch the archival footage, and you realise just what a big deal he was, but also one, the beautiful way they kind of also address this is alongside the archival footage and normal talking heads, they also have this incredible scenario where they get loads of trans male actors to basically audition to play Billy Tipton. And so you've got this kind of, you know, who's who of trans men in the acting profession kind of, you know, playing the role and talking about how much it means to them to have a hero like that is so, you know, kind of revered.
Yeah.
So No Ordinary Man.
Wow. So, but how horrible that he was, you know, like when he was dead.
I know.
And that, you know.
I know.
God. And what
1989, you know.
Yeah, I suppose. Okay.
Different world, unfortunately. Yeah. Just it just shows you how far we've come. I mean, we've got a long way to go, but it shows you that things were pretty horrendous back then. Was it turned around at the end?
That would give away the doggo. Shut up, David Hunt, shut up.
But clearly you want to see it, you know.
I do, I want to see it. Exactly. Because it's upsetting,
yeah.
Well, remember, a lot of these are going to be online as well. I'm not sure exactly which ones, but most of them.
Yeah.
So you can check out even without leaving home.
Yeah.
Now, the last one I want to say that I have seen is Nocturno. Now, this is a really mesmerizing kind of chill-out documentary. And it's from the guy who did Fire at Sea, which was a really successful doco, Gianfranco Rossi. Now, what he did was he spent 3 years on his own, like literally as camera person, composer, editor, going around loads of countries that have seen war. So you've got places like Syria, Iraq, Kurdistan, Lebanon. And yet, that kind of sounds like we're setting up a depressing documentary about how these countries were, you know, destroyed. But what it's really about is how the beauty of life continues unabated.
Yeah.
And this film does not have narration. It doesn't have subtitles. It doesn't have anything like that. It's just really beautiful footage of life in you know, around the Middle East. And honestly, this one is so beautiful. That's Nocturno.
Oh, okay. So actually, it's a nice little bookend for Limbo as well.
Yes, exactly. You know, okay. Life goes on. Well
life
done.
Goes on. Yeah.
Now, how are we doing with time? Do you want me to recommend some of the ones I haven't seen but are there coming up?
We've got a couple of minutes. Yep, go for it.
All right. Okay, I'll do it really fast because there's three Australian films I highly recommend everybody books. First of all, The Drover's Wife, The Legend of Molly Johnson.
Well, that's opening,
isn't it? This is opening night.
Yep.
Yes. Now, Wentworth star Leah Purcell, and she does everything. You know, she's an author, a playwright, a star, a director. This is her first feature film, and it's based on her own play, which itself is spun from the Henry Lawson 1892 short story, sorry.
Yep.
And she basically plays she's on her own, on the homestead, our family homestead, and she's got to protect it at all costs.
Stephen,
you're
a Scottish boy, we're Australian, we know the story, you don't have to tell. It's a famous, but thank you.
Okay,
for
so you know what it's all about, know what it's all about. All right, go see that, fine. controversially, Justin Kurzel, who did Snowtown, Macbeth, and The True History of the Kelly Gang, his big film, which is just played at Cannes to a 7-minute standing ovation, is Nitram. Now, this basically portrays the days leading up to the Port Arthur massacre. So there's been a lot of debate online about whether this, you know, film should happen Now, American Caleb Landry Jones, he's never named. You don't hear the name of the perpetrator, which is a big deal down in Tasmania. Mm. I really trust this director to do something not manipulative or unnecessary. So, look, I'm really interested to see it. His wife, Essie Davis, who did The Babadook and True History of the Kelly Gang, is also in it. She's one of our finest actors. Nitram, I'm looking forward to it. Okay. And I know it's going to get debate.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of the opinion that these things are better processed than not. I'll leave it up to everyone else to decide how they feel about it.
Yeah, I've been curious about this one for a while too. Because there's obviously the danger of like glorifying things and giving people airtime that don't deserve it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But from what I've heard of how delicately they've dealt with this, it sounds like they've handled it quite well, but also it is quite an incredible story. And if it can be used instead to honour the people who died instead, then I don't know, hopefully it's worth it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, let's keep our fingers crossed here. Yeah. I agree with everything you said, Derry.
Sounds good. What's it called again? What was that one called
again? That one is Nitram.
Nitram.
N-I-T-R-A-M.
What does that mean? Do you know?
Martin backwards.
I don't... want to say, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Look at you. Yeah.
Although yes. I did say the name that should not be said, so
right. Okay.
Apologies.
I know, so I'm kind of trying not to. But anyway, look, last but not least, Little Tornadoes. Wonderful Melbourne director Aaron Wilson, who did a stunning film called Canopy. It's his second feature. It's co-written with The Slap and Barracuda author Christos Tsiolkos.
Okay.
And it's about a very freshly single father trying to raise his two kids in 1970s Australia. I cannot wait to see it. It looks gorgeous. Little Tornadoes.
Stephen A. Russell, thank you very much for your MIFF film reviews today. Let's hope it moves along in cinemas and not so much online. And anyway, we'll keep you posted here next week when things unfold a bit more. All right, thanks, Stephen.
And pleasure to chat to you both.
Likewise, and sorry that you couldn't come and see the studios, but hey, one day next year we might.
Oh goodness, David.
See you later, Stephen.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yes, plenty to look forward to. You've just been listening to Stephen A. Russell, who's our film reviewer, talking about the upcoming Melbourne International Film Festival, which will hopefully be in person and online. And this is Joy 94.9. We'll be back with you shortly.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.